Okay, good morning, everybody. Let's go ahead and begin. We're ready and excited for this board meeting, and a happy new year to everybody that's here. We welcome those in attendance here at the state capitol. Hope that you're able to find parking better than I was. And those who are with us online, we'd like to thank you for being here, for your participation. For the meeting record, we note that the following board members are in attendance. We have Bill Wyatt, Ryan Starks, Jerry Stevenson, and Jonathan Friedman, with potentially others joining us shortly. Let's see. Our agenda has been available online. Today's meeting will include our regular report from our executive director, Ben Hart, policy and budget updates, and an AIB loan for rail infrastructure, the consideration of two business incentives, and presentations on amendments to the Castle Country and Skyline Corridor project areas. Our agenda today will allow for a period of public comment that is anticipated to begin at approximately 11:15. For those of you in attendance in person, in order to speak during public comment, please fill out a comment card and hand it to Diana Gardner, and she will number it according to the order she receives them. Comment cards will be accepted until the start of the comment period. So Diana, you want to raise your hand? Okay. All public comments will be no more than 2 minutes in length. Because time for public comments is limited, please understand that we may not get to everybody. As always, we invite you to submit your comments in writing at inlandportauthority.utah.gov. And I will say that in the past, we have received these comments, and we do appreciate your thoughtful thoughts. So with that, I think, or do we have a quorum to approve minutes, or? We will look to approve minutes from the December 11th, 2024 board meeting. The minutes were included in the packet distributed to board members and posted online for the public. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes for the board meeting of December 11th, 2024?
Yeah, I would move that we approve the minutes of the December board meeting, December 11th, 2024.
Okay, thank you, Senator Stevenson. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Jonathan. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the board minutes are approved. We'll turn the time over to now to our executive director, Ben Hart, but also welcome Joel Ferry to our meeting. Executive Director Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Greatly appreciated. All right. Well, welcome everyone to our first board meeting of 2025. Happy 2025. I'm still getting used to saying that, but just for the public's awareness, we will have today's meeting. We are going to, I shouldn't say take a couple of months off because that sounds like we're not going to be doing a whole lot. We're going to have a very busy few months, so much so that we will not have a meeting in February or probably until the end of March, just because the legislative session is going on. There's a lot happening right now. So just to be respectful to our board members and their various responsibilities, we typically won't have one later in January, February, or March, probably till the end of March. If there is an urgent item that comes up, we will schedule a board meeting, go through the public noticing process, et cetera. But right now, we're not foreseeing that. Just a couple of items before I jump into the agendized items. First, I promised the public that we would give regular requests on an item that we had on our last agenda. So I just want to give the board and public a quick report with regards to our interest in the former Salt Lake City landfill site at 7200 West and Interstate 80. We are still in the process of negotiating with current owners and current stakeholders and those who have interest in the property. We have not closed on the property yet, but we are optimistic that that date will be coming in the near future. Again, we want to say a huge thank you to Trust Lands Administration, to their executive director, their board, and also to the members of our board who put in a lot of time and effort working on that project. We will keep the public aware as any actual transfers happen, which leads me actually kind of into our first item. We several months ago, and I think most of our board is aware of this, but just very quick background for the public. We have been asked, and I even was asked by a member of the press very recently, does the port ever negotiate our tax differential or our tax interests that we're creating, generating, and receiving from a project area? Will we ever negotiate with taxing entities that may have need of some of those funds? The answer to that is yes, and we have. In a couple of different examples, but one that is salient for today's board meeting is one that we had completed with Salt Lake City. This was completed in the fall of 2022. And in essence, what this interlocal agreement does, it transfers and allows for some money in a time situation to be given back to Salt Lake City so that they have enough funds to service the project area in the Northwest Quadrant. It also dictates how their portion of our funding received can be used. To that purpose, we go through a process every year where we receive the money, we notify Salt Lake City, and then ultimately it's determined how that's spent, and this board will actually be the final approver for where those funds are used. We went through that process in 2024, and at our meeting in late June 2024 that we had in Carbon County in Price, this board approved the final allocations of where the money was going to go to. Since that time, we've been negotiating on where the funding actually ends up and where it was designed to go to. As a reminder for the board, there was some that was going to be set aside for landfill remediation. There was some that was going to be set aside as a grant for the purposes of wetland protection and preservation. And there were some other things that were set aside as well. With today's board meeting, we wanted to provide an update to the board on that funding and also ask for an amendment. So as we were going through the process and working with our good friends at the Department of Natural Resources, we ultimately determined that it was going to be better for us to fund the $2.5 million from our standard tax differential fund. So talking with our board chair, she agreed that that was okay. However, we did want to make the public aware and actually have our board alter their decision from that June 2024 board meeting. What that means is that we are going to be paying that $2.5 million for the wetland remediation out of our standard tax differential dollars. From the interlocal agreement, we are going to take another $2.5 million because we're taking from our standard tax differential funds. We are going to be taking from the interlocal bound funds, and we're going to be dedicating an additional $2.5 million-ish. We've got the right numbers in our motion, but we've got the right numbers that will ultimately go towards landfill remediation. So basically just taking from one and backfilling from another to make sure that we stay within our statute. We will, just for the public's awareness, we are asking the legislature to make a couple of, and we welcome Board Member Petro, we will be asking the legislature to make a couple of different changes to our statute to update and clarify what our capabilities are to ensure that we can make that contribution for wetland preservation from the tax differential in the future. So we are currently working with a sponsor, a really, really talented, fantastic looking legislator on a cleanup bill for the port. We would imagine that bill will be released sometime during the session. That might be Senator Stevenson, be released sometime during the session and hopefully approved by the Utah State Legislature. So, for our action from the board today, after public comment, the board will have an opportunity to make an amendment to that. It's not displacing any projects. All projects will still be funded at their levels. It's just where we take the money from. So that is one thing we are asking the board to do today. I have also notified Salt Lake City that we'll be making that change because they do have an interest, a contractual interest in this process, to make sure that they have had a chance to weigh in. And I have not heard any objections. So that is an explanation of that item. One other thing that we wanted to do with the board before we jump into our regular items is we do a regular project area update just to make sure the board and the public know what's happening kind of in our various projects. So we have one of our fantastic AVPs, Stephanie Pack, today, who will give us, Mr. Chair, if it's okay, please, who will give us an update of the Tooele Valley project area.
Good morning. Good morning, Board. I am Stephanie Pack, and I am very excited to be presenting on the Tooele Valley project area. We have just passed a huge milestone for the project area. We had its first anniversary last month after its initial creation in December. We are thrilled with the partnership we've had with the county. This project area is entirely in unincorporated Tooele County, and our stakeholders in the county have been fabulous to work with. We are also really grateful for the partnership we've had in the Zenith Group. They are the primary developer and landowner of this project area at this time, and they have been tremendous in working with us and really utilizing this tool to create an incredible project for Northern Tooele County. Currently, we are just some highlights from this last year. It was created in December 5th, 2023. We have a public infrastructure district governing that area right now. We also were approved for an authority infrastructure bank loan. It's a short-term loan that was able to really kickstart some of their infrastructure development. We're also really thrilled about the Surface Transportation Board announcement of the approval for the Savage Tooele Railroad. That will include about 11 miles of new rail servicing the region. This project area will be a primary beneficiary of this new rail expansion. They are even working with Savage currently by supporting their construction through that area. And the synergies that are happening to make this happen have just been incredible to see. I wanted to provide a few more updates on some of these key topics. When it comes to recruitment, this project area has been really, really bullish on getting this property in front of some stellar projects. We're really grateful for our partnership with EDC Utah, with the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity, that have really provided some great projects. And we've been really proactive about putting this project area in particular in front of those projects because of its proximity to I-80, because of its proximity to the rail. It really is an ideal location for industrial growth. We currently have 5 projects in negotiation. We're really excited about getting some of these projects across the finish line in 2025. We also have been really bullish on moving forward with the infrastructure improvements in the area, along with the, you know, kickoff of the construction of the Tooele, the Savage Tooele Railroad. We've also been working really diligently on creating some road improvements that are going to enhance the access to this area, as well as some really intentional projects done by this developer to ensure that the sensitive lands adjacent to this development are being protected and are being developed in the appropriate way. We've launched a full kit marketing package for this project area. We've been working really closely with the brokerage teams that are supporting this development. We've also completed comprehensive drone footage of the site, which I think really demonstrate what a compelling real estate proposition this area can be. As you can see on the slide, there has been some significant inroads in the infrastructure that has been laid in this area, including water, wastewater, power, and infrastructure for logistics. And we're really grateful for the partnership we've had with the Army Corps of Engineers in their support of ensuring that, you know, we are developing this in a way that is compliant with the regulations for that area, since it has such a close proximity to the lake. And we are really excited to see some compelling developments that will enhance some of those wetlands adjacent to the site. Here's just a fun graphic that shows some of the progress that has been made and will be made on the infrastructure for the site. We are really thrilled to see some of these projects make some announcements this year. And I think that will really provide the county with a great baseline to kick off this development and kick off this project area. Here's some of that imagery that we got from our drone footage. We have an incredible team that is going out there and getting this footage, and it really does demonstrate what an ideal location this is. So with that, I wanted to allow some opportunities for any questions from the board on the Tooele Valley project area.
Thank you, Stephanie. If I can just chime in for a second, say what a wonderful lift for the Tooele Valley. I was just out there a few weeks ago, and to think about this infrastructure and investment and what that means for job creations and quality of life and just the overall economic experience for the people living there, we need this type of investment. And so it's so great that we have this vehicle to package it together to help spur the economy. So kudos to Ben and to your team, Stephanie. Board members, anything that you'd like to add or any questions? Okay, then we'll turn the time back over to Ben.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, that completes the report. I think we're ready to move into our agenda items.
Okay, thank you. Great report. Very exciting. So we're going to move now into a review of three board policies. So Amy Brown Coffin, Chief Risk and Compliance Officer, and Erin Gibson, Chief Financial Officer, will talk us through these policies. After that, we're going to turn the time back over to Arian. The next several agenda items will be hers. We'll hear about the budget update and go to that point.
So we have three board policies for review today, and we'll be seeking approval on two of them. We have the procurement that I'll be speaking to. We just did minor changes since it was last approved, just around aligning to the changes in the administrative rule numbering and formatting. And then we also have up for review, it's annual review, the BP 10, the record retention policy. Right now we've reviewed it. We aren't seeking and adding any additional changes at this time, but we will be seeking, if there were any changes, we'd be bringing them next month, and if not, we'll just keep it as is. I'm going to turn this over to Arianne to talk about the personnel policy updates that she's been implementing.
Thank you, Amy. Yes, we have the personnel policy. We brought it last month, letting you know that we'd be making changes, and now you have a copy of that with the changes incorporated. Just as a reminder, you know, we are on our own payroll system now. We've completely separated from the state from a payroll standpoint. And so just a highlight of what some of those changes are to the personnel policy. Before in our policy, we would reference a lot to DHRM policy. And we kind of took out the language from the DHRM policy and adopted where it made appropriate sense for our organization rather than referring to a policy within DHRM. So that's a lot of what the language differences you'll see within there. We removed a couple of sections that we didn't think were relevant for our organization. And then a couple other highlights, we updated the teleworking to require employees to be working in the state of Utah, and then we updated the leave policies. A lot of that, we were looking at the state of Utah and, you know, the benefits that were provided to employees, and then we met as an executive team and made some tweaks and adapted that to what we wanted for our staff and employees. So I know you've had those and an opportunity to look at them. If you have any questions, I'm happy to talk through those. Otherwise, I'll move on to the next item I have. Okay. So I am going to share my screen here. I have in your packets, you should have the budget update for the financial statements. These are built out through October. As you recall, we've moved away from the state's financial reporting system. So these are built in our own financial system. And they're covering about from July through October, which is 3 months of the fiscal year, which should be about 25% or less on the budgetary items. And you can see overall expenditures are well beneath the 25%. personnel being one of our higher ones, and then a couple other areas. But overall, the budget is looking strong. We're on track and under what the budget was approved for the organization. Also within the packet, you were provided a copy of all the expenses by in a summary format, and then also in a detailed listing of every payment that was made during that period. Are there any questions on either of these items? Okay.
Well, while you have the mic, let's continue on. Thank you for the great report. Any questions for the budget? If not, then Arianne, if you want to go ahead and give us the presentation on the AIB loan for rail infrastructure, and can you provide information on the loan we're considering for approval, please?
Yes. Can you see my screen? If I hit slideshow, that doesn't work. No, it did. It's just a little delayed. Okay, sorry. So Stephanie discussed this a little bit earlier in her update on the Tooele Valley, but on December 17th, we met as an AIB loan committee to review an application for Savage expansion. And internally, prior to this, we went through an underwriting process looking at the business's financial statements, does it meet the mission, and a lot of different elements to determine that this was a good project to move forward. And then the board, the committee voted to approve this loan. On the screen here, you'll see the terms for the loan. But I guess before I get into that, we'll talk a little bit about what it's for. This is to revive about 6 miles of rail expansion, and then add 5 miles of new track. So it will cross a couple of our project areas out there in Tooele County, expanding the ability for the Lakeview Business Park to connect in with the intermodal rail. The terms for the loan are $10 million over 10 years and 3.45%. I did want to give Andy Perucci an opportunity. He's here from Savage to just make a statement on this particular loan, if that's okay.
Please do. Andy, welcome.
Trying to push anything? No. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We appreciate the Inland Port Authority and the AIB. This program is, it's really kind of top notch in the country. We've been in business for almost 80 years. We do business in 44 out of the 50 states. We're in Canada, Mexico, Saudi Arabia. We're growing, but we're a Utah company, and there's no program like this as far as a competitive nature, for being a catalyst for economic development for rail. Most of the economic development tools don't really work for rail because we don't take ownership of the product that is going on our railroads. And so a lot of the tax incentives just don't drive rail development. That's why this is one of the first new railroads to be built in the U.S. It's actually the first new railroad to be built in the U.S. in 82 years and the first new railroad to be built in Utah in 110 years. We're really excited to be making some history here. The Surface Transportation Board went through a lengthy review process for this project. It was over 5 years. It passed all of the different environmental reviews from the STB. It actually was touted by the chairman of the STB last year at a rail conference as the example for the future for rail development in our country. So we're really excited about this. It's going to provide a business park that's being built with multimodal optionality. And the STB highlighted that. If not for this railroad, it would be a truck served only business park, but with the railroad, it will have rail options. And with rail, 3 to 4 trucks equivalent of freight are taken off the road per rail car. So based upon STB and Savage's estimates, this is going to equate to the avoidance of nearly 5,000 commercial truck trips annually in just our first year of operation and 20 million truck miles over 20 years of operations. So a significant reduction from an environmental perspective, but then also a significant reduction from just road usage. So happy to answer any questions, but we appreciate the support. This is going to really help us to be able to put some much needed infrastructure into Tulsa County.
Mr. Chair, if you wouldn't mind.
Please.
Thank you. I just want to say a huge thank you. Since I have the mic, I'm going to say this now as well. Ariane has been doing an amazing job coming up to speed and helping get our agency where it needs to be, not just on a AIB application, the incentive applications, the divorce from the state of Utah. There's been a lot, so we really appreciate all that she's doing. But also to Savage, this is a local company. They're doing amazing things all around the globe, but I just want to let one of those numbers sink in. 5,000 trucks is estimated the first year. Those are trucks out of the Northwest Quadrant. Those are trucks that are going to be going into Tooele. The work, not just from the Northwest Quadrant, but from the region, kind of this entire area. The work that Savage is doing here in their own backyard is amazing. And for those, and Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, hopefully you won't mind me being just a little bit soapboxish, but for those who want to bash on the port and say we're not doing any good and that we cannot change the state's logistics system, we're saying that's absolutely false. It's not true. And we're emblematic seeing that today of what Savage is doing here in Tooele County. They have the opportunity to build a facility that is going to take a whole lot of trucks off the road over the next several decades and starting, you know, even over the next 12 months. So the amazing work that we're doing in partnership with groups like Savage is just incredibly important. And I don't want to understate this opportunity and the amazing work being done by Savage. So, Andy, please carry back to your leadership the thanks to the Inland Port team. It's not an assumption that the board will approve it, but just the amazing work that you guys are doing is helping the state. And we truly can take trucks off the road. We can take crap out of the air. We can be doing a lot of good things to build a better Utah for future generations. So,
yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Also, I did want to note that the $10 million loan is not the full cost of the project. We're going to be investing an additional $15 million of our own capital. And so it's a we're excited about this project and appreciate the support and love growing in Utah.
Thank you, Andy. And we'll get to the approval here momentarily, but thank you for your time. I'd like to now move over to an exciting part of the agenda, which is we have a couple of incentives to consider for companies. Oh, I'm sorry. And we actually had a couple of questions. I just got so excited about those.
Well, incentives. It is an exciting project and I understand why you would keep moving forward. Andy, you actually answered my one question, which was what is the total project cost, which is sounds like it's $25 million. And this is a $10 million loan towards that. It's great. Thank you. I just had a question just broadly. Is there a pledge of collateral on this as well?
Not with this one, no. But we have discussed when we're talking about the terms of the agreement, having a kind of a parent agreement.
Okay.
Board Member Ferry, the committee. So this has to go through a three-step process. First to the AIB loan committee, second to this board, and then third actually to EAC. Mm-hmm. And so the first step, one of the things that they asked for was future consideration for collateral. So they were okay moving this one through, but they asked us on future loans to consider doing actual collateral. So that is something that we'll certainly mix in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
And I don't know if you heard everybody cheering downstairs, but I think. Okay. Well, now we'll transition back over to the incentives discussion. As a reminder to the board, these incentives have been reviewed by our incentives subcommittee and come to the full board with that committee's recommendation. Stephanie Pack and Stephen Smith are Associate Vice Presidents for Regional Project Area Development and will each present an incentive within project areas they oversee. Let's start with Stephanie with Project Charm in the Golden Spike area, and then Stephen, the other incentive is Project Bold Horizon in the Northwest Quadrant.
Thank you so much. So I am really excited to present on Project Charm. Because this project and the way our tools are configured, this project will be stacking the Utah Inland Port incentive with the EdTIF incentive from the governor's office. Due to that, they will not be receiving an approval for their EdTIF until the end of the week. And we will postpone on announcing the name of the company at their request until they go through the GOEO board. So for the purposes of this presentation, I will be referring to the company as Project Charm. But as was mentioned, this has been presented to our incentives committee, and the incentives committee has approved a recommendation for the board to consider today for an incentive. Project Charm is a steel fabrication company. They are interested in locating in Brigham City in the Golden Spike project area. This is going to be a very significant capital expenditure, over $200 million in CapEx going into that community. And this community is really well positioned to support this industry, with steel fabrication being a huge industry in Brigham City already. They already have everything that they need in terms of supply chain, transportation, workforce, to support this business. They will be creating about 250,000 square feet of fabrication space that will be serviced by rail. There is rail in the area already. They will be increasing the volume of the rail transload into the area because of the steel products that will be coming in. They will also be leveraging rail to export their finished products once they are completed. The project will be creating 263 high-paying jobs that exceed the average county wage, which is one reason why Brigham City is so excited about this project. It really is bringing in some stellar jobs into the community that the community is really well positioned to support. Per our incentive guidelines for the Golden Spike project area, this project does qualify for a max incentive. And for the board's consideration today, the incentive subcommittee has suggested that the board consider a 30% tax rebate for the company over post-completion of the project. And this will be over 25 years of the life of the project area, subject to early termination should operations cease to continue. This format of incentive really is beneficial to the community as it is post-performance, and it really does protect the community in case the company doesn't perform the way they intended to perform. And so the community is really excited and really committed to supporting this company, and we are thrilled to be welcoming them into the state. I think they are going to be an incredible asset to our community. It is in competition with Arizona, but I think with the incentive package that the state has provided in partnership with the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity, this is a project I think will be Arizona on. Any questions?
It's always bad when someone else is in control of my voice. So it's, as I've looked at this and looked at what we were tried to accomplish with the Inland Port from the very beginning, you have hit the nail right on the head with what you're doing here. We've looked at this area of northern Utah for a long time, and those of us that are long timers here recognize that we've been at the mercy, if you will, of the defense industry with the many of the things that have gone on. And so as a result, Brigham City has been a boom or bust. In fact, that whole area has been boom or bust. These are the kind of jobs that come in and they stay, and they work through good times and bad times. But these are the type of businesses you need. I know I served in a capacity as a mayor at one time, and I worked with a lot of economic developments going on in the community. And I felt that I was a lot better off to have 20 small businesses with, less than 500 or 600 employees than I was to have one enormous business that kind of moved in and out with the whims of the economy. And so congratulations. I think you've hit the nail right on the head with this one. And with what's going on there, this is a large enough project that it will be a draw for other things to come to the area also. And, this makes me feel really good about what we are accomplishing across the state of Utah with the Inland Port Authority. And we look at what's happened in Cedar City as a great example, but we're at various stages of all this type of production and growth that's going on. It's all positive. It's positive for the areas. It keeps our kids employed, keeps good jobs in the state of Utah. So thank you.
Couldn't agree more. This will be the second incentive offered in the Golden Spike project area that exceeds $100 million of capital expenditure. And this is what we built this project area to accommodate. And we are thrilled at the success we've seen in these projects that have selected Brigham, Box Elder County, Brigham City as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And again, everybody's cheering for you. Stephen, actually, Board Member Petro.
On the project overview, there's a bullet point about the inbound raw materials increasing volume of transload or rail in the region. Are we able to connect any contractual or other stipulations that push that as much towards rail as possible or drive further rail development? I mean, based on what we saw in Europe, we know that's the answer to not killing the rest of the state while offering this great opportunity.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Stephanie, if you want to respond to this as well, but we always, always push rail. And this is why I think the AIB is so powerful, the application right before these incentives, is because the more opportunities we have for rail nearby, the more we keep those trucks off the road, the more cost effective it is for the railroads to work with these businesses. And so, yes, we absolutely think that's part of the conversation.
With this project specifically, it will be co-located with an existing steel fabrication operation that is currently rail served. And so there already is a robust supply chain coming into the area that's well established. And so we have full confidence that they will be utilizing and optimizing for rail service. And based off of what we understand of rail connectivity in the area, they should have plenty of capacity to service this expansion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'll turn the time over to Stephen.
Members of the board, really excited to also bring another incentive before you today and discuss a great opportunity here in the Northwest Quadrant. So if you'll give me a moment, I'll share my screen as well. I do have a guest with me today who I'll introduce here in a minute as well. But just to provide you a little bit of a highlight, this is has been working under the name Project Bolt Horizon. It's aerospace and defense. We are looking at this in the Northwest Quadrant, about $42 million of CapEx. A really exciting opportunity, we think, brings a strong industry into the Northwest Quadrant, great job opportunities, an opportunity we're looking forward to. This is a prospective location for this business, so they have not finalized a decision for the location yet. But with me today, I have Sean Webb, who's the VP of Operations, and I wanted to give him an opportunity to talk a little bit more about what the project is, what they will be doing in the Northwest Quadrant, and we'll go from there.
Good morning, Board. I'm excited to be here. My name is Sean Webb. I want to talk a little bit about the company. It's called AeroVironment. Really started as a think tank many years ago and has expanded into products. And one of our business segments, which I'll talk about in a minute, LMS, is growing exponentially. And we are looking for additional space. Already do some business here in Utah with some suppliers and are considering Utah. So next slide, please. We do have a global footprint. I remember when I started with the company, we had one location and about 100 employees, and now we're expanding. We have 13 campuses worldwide and are adding more on a regular basis. And we're primarily in California as far as most of our production, and are not going to expand in the California area anymore and looking to expand outside of California. Next slide. We are an innovation company throughout the years that has turned into making a lot of products. In fact, we have 8 items in the Smithsonian Museum, the most recent one being the Mars helicopter, designed to fly 6 missions and went over 60. So it was a great program. Next slide, please. We really are broken into three business segments. We have uncrewed systems, which are drones, both small and medium size, and robots, ground robots. And then we have on the other side, Advanced Systems Group, which is kind of the Skunk Works area, and a high-altitude pseudo-satellite. It's a solar wing that carries a satellite-type payload that can stay up for many days, many months. And then in the middle, the part of the company that's growing the most is loitering munition systems. What is a loitering munition system? It's basically a drone and missile combined, you could say. It's launches out of a tube. The product is called Switchblade. It gets its name because it launches out of the tube and the wings pop out. And that is the area that is growing the most right now, where we're looking for some additional space. We have delivered over 35,000 products. We're authorized through the foreign military sales to the government to 55 different countries around the world. And the market cap's a little old. We're a larger cap than that currently. The product that we're mainly talking about possibly building here in Utah is right in the middle. So this is our suite of products. You can see the robots, the flying aircraft, both small and medium size, our high-altitude pseudo-satellite at the top. It's quite a huge wingspan. But the products we're talking about right here in the middle, the smaller products and controllers by the soldier there is what we'll be talking about as far as the space needed. The growth has been exponential. We had 150% growth in the last fiscal year. We're now already over 300 employees. We're continuing to hire. For this project, we expect over 500 employees that we would hire in the local area. Not only, though, is it about the company, we also support local businesses. We, every quarter, have an all-employee meeting and cater from all the companies around. We try to keep our supply base within a 50-mile radius. Our actual turnover rate is less than 2% at the company. So it is a great place to work, and it's a great place for employees to come work. And we actually have good capabilities of recruiting talent from other aerospace businesses because of our culture. We have had phenomenal revenue growth as well. And we're becoming a recognized leader in this product segment. We're a smaller aerospace company and are growing in size. And this kind of growth and change has forced us to look for other space. We expect about 1.6 times growth in the next fiscal year. We have seen double digit growth every year for the last 20 years. So it's continuing to expand. As I said, we're looking to establish a production site outside of California, targeting 150,000 to 2,000 square feet, 200,000 square feet, expand the existing production capability and capacity, and we'll have a skilled labor force of technicians, engineers, all the support staff, and management, and expect about 526 employees over the period. And I'd like to open up for any questions that the board might have.
Thank you, Mr. Webb, for your presentation, and we would just ask that you invite us to that next taco gathering. But just so you know, this is one of our state strategic priorities. Our targeted industries is aerospace and defense. Love to see this interest and this investment into the state. So thank you for your presentation. Board, are there any questions? Mr. Friedman.
Sorry if you mentioned this. I didn't catch it. Can you speak to your customers? Is it the Department of Defense? Yeah. Are you building these things end to end, or are they components?
Yeah. So the site we're looking for will be mainly final assembly and testing, integrating of parts, no fabrication. The customers we have are primarily Department of Defense and other government agencies. We do have one commercial product, and that's the high altitude pseudo satellite that is a commercial product. That's the only commercial product we have.
Okay. Please. And just to kind of wrap this up, this was, as mentioned, recommended through the Utah Inland Port Authority Incentive Committee on December 5th, 2024. It was recommended that we offer an annual property tax rebate of 10% for the real property and personal property at this location, potential location, again, for no more than 25 years, and of course, subject to early termination if operations cease to continue, and is aligned with the Northwest Quadrant Project Area Plan. This would be subject to an incentive contract, review of facility daily water usage, which we don't anticipate to be high at normal usage, and then submission of a corporate stewardship plan.
Great. Thank you, Stephen. I know that Board Member Petra had a question, please.
I'm going to pretend like I'm not freaked out by what technology is doing in this sector and skip instead. Stephen, can you qualify for me what high-paying jobs means, particularly in the Northwest Quadrant? I'm particularly concerned with jobs that have economic mobility that bring people in. Does high-paying require degrees? Will it be, you know, kids coming out of high school able to move up?
Yeah, so I'll let Sean speak to this, but I think from our point of view, that is above and beyond what we would typically see for a warehouse type of distribution job, beyond just the typical, you know, 15 to 19 an hour job. Now, we expect those to be out there as well in the Northwest Quadrant, but we want to bring in opportunities that have, you know, skilled labor advancement, opportunities for, you know, additional education, skilled labor. And again, I'll let Sean speak to this a little bit more.
Yeah, to add to that, we actually hire highly skilled technicians for the production floor. It is not a simple product. And so we have to pay a little bit higher than some of the local companies. But also you have all the support staff, manufacturing engineers, product engineers, project engineers, quality engineers. I can go on. And then the logistics, shipping, receiving, warehousing, those kind of things. So it's across the spectrum, and they're all very portable jobs. I've been in this industry for 35 years. I've lived in 6 or 7 states, and it's the same, you know, I can get a job anywhere, basically. It's the same kind of job that it's portable. It will bring in people. We have people interested in moving here, actually, if we were to select this state. So I think it is opportunity to provide some very good jobs to the local community across the spectrum, really.
Great. Well, thanks again. Seeing no other questions, we're just about 15 minutes behind, so we're going to move on to the next agenda item. Thank you again for your presentation and for being here. We have two presentations now from Jenna Draper, Associate VP for Regional Project Area Development, to discuss amendments to the Castle Country and Skyline Corridor Project Area Plans. The Castle Country Amendment was initially presented in December and will be considered for adoption today. Jenna will also introduce the draft amendment to the Skyline Corridor Project Area Plan, which will be considered at a future board meeting. Ms. Draper.
Thank you. Let me get this presentation up. I appreciate the time today, and I apologize for not being able to be there in person. As you know, I live down in these rural areas, and sometimes it's not feasible to make the 3.5-hour drive up into Salt Lake every time and still maintain my obligations to the locals here. This presentation, as you said, the first presentation on the Castle Country Amendment was done last month, and I'd just like to add a few different things to the presentation that had been done last month. This amendment will include an industrial park that is adjacent to the San Rafael Energy Research Center. They are working on research and development of reliable alternative energy sources. Project Photosynthesis, which will be in the Green River City Zone, is a good example of this. They use different types of algae to clean impurities out of the agriculture runoff and then return the clean water into the Green River. Currently, this runoff flows directly into the river, risking E. coli and other bacterial contamination. They also will take waste from the watermelon fields and turn it into biochar, then give this back to the farmers to increase their soil health and crop yields in future seasons. Our main goals in this project area are to build out key infrastructure systems to support anticipated growth in these rural areas. What we are finding in these areas is that the opportunities are there for high-wage job creation and other meaningful economic growth, but there is a lack of local bandwidth to seize these opportunities. UIPA can lend this support and assist in filling the gaps to ensure the communities can capture the growth they want to see, and these companies can fully realize the benefits of locating in these rural areas. It has been suggested that we should just give the differential back to the residents in these areas. While there is no doubt that this would be a short-term economic boost for these families, it would ultimately be ineffective for impactful progress. The residents in these rural areas do not want a handout. By encouraging job creation and building the infrastructure to support future growth, we are creating opportunities for these residents. We are creating the ability for them to support themselves with meaningful work. We are creating dignity for people who are currently living in poverty or living paycheck to paycheck. We are making lasting generational wealth building impacts that support the local economic development plans. The recruitment strategies listed on this slide were included in the original plan and budget, but I wanted to highlight them. Carbon fiber manufacturing and alternative energy resources are two of the main industries that this amendment area will be focusing on. The first group of parcels included in this amendment is projected to create 1,100 jobs and hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in investment in this area. This is land in Emory County that has not been developed yet. Part of this amended area is the inactive Fossil Rock Mine, formerly operated by Rocky Mountain Power. This inclusion is at Emory County's request and aligns with their local economic development strategy. The second area is an industrial park adjacent to the San Rafael Energy Research Center. There is a company that has shortlisted this site for a microreactor unit manufacturing, providing 75 jobs and $75 million in investment in the first phase, and they have asked for room for future expansion. The third site that we will be adding into this area is located within Green River City and expands the greenfield land that can be marketed and developed. This is where Project Photosynthesis will be located, with each algae pod capturing 550 tons of CO2 per year and cleaning up to 525,000 gallons of water per year. This is water and clean air that will be returned to this rural area. This will create up to 25 jobs initially, with future pods requiring additional staff. This project is almost entirely self-sufficient, utilizing solar panels for their electricity and providing clean water and biochar as their only outputs. This area also aligns with Green River's expansion plans and their economic development plan. They received a grant last year to explore development of this particular area and to do a feasibility study on what infrastructure it would take to get that area ready for marketing. They also received a grant recently to renovate their downtown. Broadway Street has been on their short list to be reinvested into and to get rid of the blight that has happened in their downtown region due to this declining area. Are there any questions from the board?
Please go ahead. I'll just make a very, very quick comment on this, but we did get some questions from some of the members of the media about this project area and the relationship between this project area and some of the mining interests in this area. I just want to be clear that today's action is not funneling any money into any mining operations. If and when a project is determined as something that the port should support financially, then we will bring that to the board and we will do that in an open, transparent way. But I want to be clear, first and foremost, our policy and what we're doing at the port is in line with the state's policy, and Speaker Schultz just did an excellent op-ed on this, which is an all-of-the-above approach. And I think Jen has done a very good job talking about the economic opportunities that are needed in some of these rural counties, so I won't belabor the point. But I will say, even though today's action does not funnel money to any direct mining interests, there may come a time where it does and where we will bring back to the board some type of support. I don't know that that will happen, but it could. And if and when it does, we will be, again, open and transparent about what the policy and what the objectives of our interests are. But that is not happening with today's vote. All we're doing today is creating and expanding the project area in these in this region.
Please, Senator.
Just we've been looking at this through the legislative process, and there are over 100 critical minerals across the around the world that are in very short supply, and we are relying on other nations to supply those to us. If I remember my numbers right, and Commissioner, you may be able to help me on this, but I think over 70 of those are available here in the state of Utah. So it looks like that mining is not something that's going to go away. Now, I know that there's a bad word out there called coal. A lot of people like to reference to mining in the state of Utah, but I'm sure that there will be a process developed that would make coal a very clean product to burn. It's much better now than it was a few years ago. So we need to take advantage of this type of thought process. We need to look at these elements that are very essential to our national security, and we need to be moving forward on them in the state of Utah. And this is certainly a good step in that direction, I think.
Joel, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to back you up. No, so we have, it depends on which metric you look at, but Utah does have a majority of those rare earth minerals that are critical in the advancement of technology, both for clean energy, for, the use in our cell phones, the use in just our daily lives. And more of those are being processed overseas, being refined and mined overseas. And, in areas that aren't as friendly as they maybe should be. And so we're in a unique position here in Utah where we do have an abundance of these natural resources and minerals in particular. These operations, mining is extremely capital intensive. And so the more we can do to help, enable mining activities that are being done responsibly, the better off we're going to be as a society. And so the more we can do to promote that and encourage that, we're way better off than relying upon a foreign country that may be adversarial towards our common shared interests. And so Utah, I think, is an incredible place to do that type of business. We have 27 of the 34 identified rare earth elements here in our state. A lot of those are found on public lands. And it takes a lot of work and effort to try to gain access to those. Just yesterday, the current administration banned any drilling on 640 million acres offshore, which, okay, there's a case to be made for some of those types of things. But when you do these broad blanket restrictions, it puts pressure on everything else and causes these things to become more expensive and more difficult to advance. So, the more we can do to promote mineral development in a responsible way, the better off we are going to be as a people. So thank you.
Thank you. And I would just add quickly too that just as a reminder to everybody here that these project areas are driven by the local community. So it's not the state coming in saying, we need you to expand. It's them identifying the opportunities they have within the community and then asking for the expansion. And so what a partnership between the local communities in this board and in this authority. And the result is very positive. So thank you for your comments. Jenna, we'll turn the time back over to you for the Skyline Corridor Project Area Plan.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. As you know, board members, we just created this project area not too terribly long ago, and we are already asking to amend it. The housing development in Salinas City was not originally included, but due to some construction costs and the rising pressure on the developer, Salinas City has asked to include this project, these parcels into their project area so that we can support this builder and build some of the infrastructure up to the property. It's not currently stubbed out right at the property. So that's what we're hoping to do, is to create the ability for that housing development to take place. And Manti City was not quite ready to let us know what areas they wanted included in the project area upon creation. So they have now asked to include some of the parcels within their city limits as well. The main purpose here is, as I mentioned, to have the employee housing options and then looking for support in the Manti City area. The Salina City parcel that will be the housing development will is included on this slide. The city intends to use the tools that UIPA offers to support the development of over 200 homes on this parcel. The announcement of this housing development has already spurred other types of economic activity, including one company who has been in talks with the city for the last 3 or 4 years and has been uncomfortable with signing a contract and agreeing to move into Salina due to the shortage of available housing. Once we announced that this project would be moving forward, they went ahead and signed a deal with Salina City to locate in the other parcels on this project area. So once we can get more housing in the area and get a few more employees, we expect other companies to follow suit as well. Manatee City has chosen the identified areas for their UIPA port project zone. These parcels include both city-owned and privately held properties, and their intent is to focus on light manufacturing and other needed services within the community. This one's kind of short and sweet. Are there any questions from the board?
Any questions from the board? Just as a reminder, it's Tooele, not Thule. It's Juab, not Huab. It's Hurricane, not Hurricane. And it's Salina, not Salina. Thank you for the great report, Jenna.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we'll now open the general public comment portion of the meeting. We've received just one public comment. Thank you for that. The speaker shall approach the board to make her comment. The comment shall be directed to the chair. Once your name is announced, you'll have just 2 minutes. In order to support respectful meetings, items that disrupt the meeting, intimidate other participants, or cause safety concerns are not allowed and will not be tolerated. We'll conclude the public comment portion of the meeting when all one comment has been heard. And we remind you again that you're always invited to submit comments about the port's activities in writing at inlandportauthority.utah.gov. So with that, Ms. Joan Gregory, please. Welcome.
The headsets are interfering when they get close to the microphone. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. So I am concerned, the people are concerned about the Savage Project and the other industrial development being subsidized in Tooele County. Because we're concerned that it will induce significant vehicle traffic. The Romney Group estimated 50,000 new daily vehicle trips from their project alone. If we add up all the subsidies that Savage Industry is getting to build this rail line, that is going to create so much new truck traffic. It's tens of millions of dollars. Tax dollars are subsidizing public harm. The bottom line is that UIPA is fast-tracking massive industrial development next to Great Salt Lake in an area that already has inadequate water resources and that fails to meet air quality standards for healthy air. Also, the Brigham City project, which will negatively impact the environment, is next to a critically important area for migratory birds. You're continuing to subsidize industry with tax dollars at the expense of public health and well-being. You talk about partnerships with communities, with partnerships in working in partnership. It's partnership with the people who are going to have to breathe the air, who need to be able to drink the water. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Gregory. Appreciate your comments. And now taking some action on some of the policies and items that we've reviewed. Our first action item now is the approval of the policy updates that Amy and Ariane presented. Is there a motion to approve BP07 procurement policy and BP11 personnel policy as presented?
So moved.
Thank you, Senator Stevenson. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Jonathan. All in favor of the motion to approve these policies, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We're now looking at approval of Authority Infrastructure Bank loan for Savage to Willow Rail. Larry, will you please share that proposed motion? Okay, as we can see here, the motion is stated on the screen. Is there a board member who will make this motion?
I'm happy to make the motion to approve the $10 million loan to Savage for the revival and expansion of the rail line there.
Great. Thank you. Do we have a second?
I would second.
Thank you, Senator. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? I was an aye as well, by the way. Next, we have the business incentives in Box Elder County in the Northwest Quadrant. We'll first look at the motion for Project Charm. Thank you, Larry, for putting that up. Will someone make that motion, please?
I'm just going to read the motion if that's all right. Utah Inland Port Authority Board approves for Project Charm an annual project area incentive property tax differential rebate equivalent to 30% of the assessed property tax post completion of the development. This rebate will be provided yearly for no more than 25 years, provided continued operation within the project area during that time. Incentive approval is subject to the completion of the contract agreement.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Abby. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Now we'll consider the motion for Project Bold Horizon. Again, if we can get that up here. And if we can get somebody to read this proposed motion and make that, that would be great.
I'll move to propose the Utah Inland Port Authority Board approve for Project Bold Horizon, an annual project area incentive property tax differential rebate equivalent to 10% of the assessed property value post completion of the development. This rebate will be provided yearly for no more than 25 years, provided continued operation within the project area during that time. Incentive approval is subject to the completion of contract agreement, review of facility daily water usage, and submission of corporate stewardship plan.
I don't think they got that. Can you read that one more time, please?
Slower.
Is there a second?
I would say.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay, motion passes. We're getting into the swing of it. We're now looking to approve the amendment to the interlocal tax differential allocation. Larry, please share that motion. Will someone make the motion?
My turn.
Okay.
Utah Inland Port Authority amends its June 24th, 2024 decision regarding funds allocated under the direction of its interlocal agreement, and the following amount shall be funded in the following levels: 4994079 million for the landfill remediation, 2.6 million air cargo development for Salt Lake City Airport, 400,000 baseline and preferred studies, 150,000 for train crossing safety signage.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I would second that.
Thank you, Senator. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Next is the adoption of the resolution on the amendment to the Castle Country Project Area Plan. And once again, Larry is preparing a motion. Okay, Mr. Executive Director, if you could read that, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Happy to. Utah Inland Port Authority, Resolution 2025-1, a resolution of the Utah Inland Port Authority Board adopting amendments to the Castle Country Inland Port Project Area Plan.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to adopt Resolution 2025-01?
So moved.
So moved. Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
We have a second. All in favor of this motion to adopt the resolution, say aye. 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 Any opposed? It passes. The chair will now entertain a motion to move to a closed session to be held now. Let's see. It is 11:15 at the Utah State Capitol, 350 State Street, room 445, Salt Lake City, Utah, 4103, and via electronic meeting for the purpose of a strategy session to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property is allowed and described in sections 52.4, 204, and 205 of the Utah Code under the Open and Public Meetings Act. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
So moved.
So moved and a second?
Yes.
Okay, Larry, will you do a roll call vote, please?
Yes, I would be happy to. Mr. Jonathan Friedman?
I vote yes.
Board Member Stevenson?
Yes.
Madam Chair Osborne?
Yes.
Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes. Okay, thank you. So we will go ahead and move into the closed session. All others in the room are asked to leave to ensure the privacy of the closed meeting. Thank you again for being here. Board members who are online will remain in the Zoom meeting. And once we're done with this, the meeting will be adjourned.